Accession number 29893, Reel 5.
Right, here we are. This is Danker Bink and it's Reel 5. Okay, Danker. You're going to tell me now about meeting your brother, I think, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm
very vague whether we arrived in Waterloo or Victoria. I don't know where it was. I had to guess. I think it must have been Waterloo.
Not to worry. Sort of recognizing each other.
Well, of course, I had the photograph of him. I recognized his gait, you know. And he was very handsome. He was when you see the photograph, you will see he looks like a film star, and his wife was also very good looking. And to you know, all of a sudden to have a family like this, now, so he was at the station. Now, first thought was to take me for a meal, and that was very interesting because my brother who lived in France. Where did he take me? To an oyster bar. And I couldn't eat it. So
rather luxurious for you.
And so I know I was still hungry when we got there. You see, I did experience the hunger. And my sister-in-law didn't eat very much. She was very thin as well. And when I stayed with them, I was ashamed if I wanted to eat a bit more. So I had this terrible problem. I had a terrible problem by being so terribly shy, because they also told me to ask they gave me blankets. If you're cold, tell us. Or no, they said there are blankets in the cupboard. Help yourself. But could I? I was so inhibited that I couldn't go and get the blanket to warm up. And I think this was one of the problems. And that's why I wrote a poem which was read out at the Holocaust Memorial about my head teacher in England, who I said in the poem, who restored my dignity. And she gave me confidence. She made me into a prefect after months, you know, just ridiculous. I didn't have anything.
I was going to ask you about education. Did your brother find a school? Where were you living?
Where he couldn't find. He was desperate.
Yes, where were you living?
In Wimbledon.
In Wimbledon, in London.
Yes. Uh-huh. He had a flat there, you see, which belonged to Mr. Craw, my sister-in-law's sister. Worked for Mr. Craw, and Mr. Craw's secretary, a very good secretary, and she worked for Mr. Craw's, she was secretary to Mr. Craw's secretary, and she was able to get flats for friends or for her, and that's how my brother his wife got a lovely flat in Wimbledon.
How about your school? How did you get into
He couldn't find a school. No school would take me. I was 17 and they couldn't place me. Now, I don't know how he found this private school in Wimbledon, which was run by two people. They had Miss Bibby and Miss Doig. And Miss Bibby took me. I think he found some money. He appealed to the Polish government in exile, and I think they paid some of the fees because he couldn't afford it. He couldn't. He was a, you know. And she was just the most wonderful thing for me. She, you know, she made me into a role model. I mean, which would say, look how Danusha is wearing her uniform, you know, who she would take me to tennis match, to Wimbledon, and I was given cucumber sandwiches and suppers. She was just wonderful. In fact, I don't know whether I told you, but I have a friend here in Cambridge who is a school inspectress. And one day we went together because we belonged to a group, History of Art group, and we went together to the Tate, Britain. And I told him a little bit of my story. She told me hers that she had been to the school to inspect, and she said, yes, it's a lovely school. And she told them this at the time.
I suppose you were learning English this time, were you? You were picking up English.
When I got there, when I got to, I was desperate to learn English. I cried once in front of my brother, and I said, I will never learn English. And, I was really bothered by this. Yes, I'm going back now. I've went a bit too ahead, you see. I was going to tell you about a girl, my friend. The reason I brought my friend in is because when we went to the Tate, she said, I put you onto Friends Unite, and we'll see whether we get a response from the school, whether anyone remembers you. And she did get a response.
Good. Well, I won't be able to go into all the details of this period, but I did know that after school, you then became a nurse. Is that right? Yeah. You went into nurse training.
Despite the fact I wanted to at first, I went to train as a shorthand typist.
Right.
Eventually, that's what someone I knew did the same thing, and I just wanted to do it and be a nurse.
Yeah. And at this time, did you know what had happened to your parents, Danka?
I think so. I mean, I never knew actually what happened to them. I didn't know whether but it was when we were in the States that someone came to see me who knew my father. Someone called Solomon. But I never know to this moment, except we've been in Poland. I was trying to claim my father's, inherited. And our house was destroyed. We owned houses, but that was all destroyed. But the mill still stands. And I went to see Andrew Lansley, and he was very helpful, but he gets stuck. He wrote to the mayor to see, hope he'll get a response, and that's when he doesn't get a response. He wrote, this is the second time, but he had no response. This is because I was actually, you asked me about my parents, that's why I'm telling you this, because I was shamed by a lawyer by saying, how can you leave it like that? How can you not claim something that your father worked so hard? And this was someone from in London, the solicitor's row, Park Lane, a solicitor in Park Lane, who I saw his name in a newspaper, and he was interested in recovering property. You are sorry, you have to think about yourself, don't you? I'm sorry. This is not a comfortable chair.
No, really, this is fine, because we're coming now to the end of this. Mm. But did you get your family mill? This is what I want to find out. You haven't actually...
I've had lots of correspondence. Mm. I haven't got it, no.
I'm very sorry about that. Did you find it difficult when you came to England, Danka, to talk about what you'd been through in the war? You know, all these awful camps.
Well, to tell you the truth, most people were not interested. My brother wanted to know some, but a bit.
Was he not interested in your whole story?
I mean, unless you put questions forward, he knows quite a bit about, but not other people.
Did you find it... Did you want to talk? Did you... Would you have liked not, to have spoken to people?
Probably not, because people wouldn't be able to understand. You couldn't really tell people that you're hungry when they're not. You know, I remember reading Solzhenitsyn's book One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisevich, and how he hid his bread in a mattress. Now, I understood it, but who would?
Do you think things have improved, that now people want to know?
Oh, yes. Well, it's been put on the map, hasn't it? Get very interactive. When I was in the States, my husband, we spent 3 years in Syracuse. But this was in William and Mary. We also went to William and Mary University. And I sat in a group who were interested in creative writing. I was able to sit in on any courses because he was a member of the staff. And they allowed me to do this, providing I got in touch with people. So I sat in on English, lectures in English and lectures on Shakespeare and also on this creative writing group. And one of the girls, and I told her about myself. And then a few days later she told me, she was young I suppose, and she said, "You realize I can't be a friend to you anymore because I told her this."
Because of?
Because I told her, because of my experiences. Maybe her parents told her, maybe she was just a young girl. But she was Jewish. So we had all sorts of... but this was long after the war, of course. You couldn't talk to a normal person about my experiences. I wouldn't want to, actually, but you couldn't, and I'm not sure how interested it would be. There are some people who are interested. But, you know, on the whole...
But surely there's more interest today, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
We have Holocaust Memorial Day.
Yes, this is...
And people like yourself have written, you know, your lovely memoir of the Holocaust. So people are now listening.
Oh, yes.
They
want to know. They will never be able to experience what we experience, but they would like to know, yes. Having said this, there are some people who do not. I mean, some people who've heard enough of the Holocaust. I found this word Holocaust rather misleading, because there are people who have suffered so much, and people who, you know, might have just felt a little bit about it, and they are all grouped together in their Holocaust survival. And I find this difficult.
You think it's all sort of too all-embracing?
Oh, too embracing. And it's,
yes.
I mean, I find the kinder transport, many of them, they may have parted from the family for a little while, but they were with the family afterwards, and they're all Holocaust survivors. You know, it's...
Well, thank you very much indeed, Danka, for spending so much time and letting me come and telling me your
probably
story.
Didn't read properly.
Well, it's been very interesting, and it's a wonderful compliment to your memoir, which we have. And I do hope you're going to sort out your poems.
I will.
And take
because
them up
very...
on Tuesday.
Yeah, I will.
Yes, and then, you know, your copies of your letters, any of these, I know
the letter, because I was told to keep the letter, you know.
Yeah.
It's very significant. If I'd thought more, and this is my problem, I hadn't before you came, I would have had the poems and this letter ready.
Well, you've been marvellous, and, you know, this is a Sunday morning which you've given up, and I'm very grateful.
It's you who's given up, which is much more... I went...